We're going to begin. If I can get your attention, please. I want to welcome everyone to our tea. Our theme this year is hope, and which means an expectation, or the archaic meaning was trust. And if we know Jesus, we can trust, and our hope has substance. We're not hoping in something that's, vague or wishful, but it's our hope is placed in Jesus, so we have a firm foundation, and we can be very expectant and wait and have that surety. So I hope that each person here today is filled with hope, because these times have felt hopeless to so many people. But I want to pray for us, and then I have a few little announcements. Father God, we just thank you that we can know you, that you're a knowable God, and that you're a good God. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to die for us so that we could live with you forever. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time, this fellowship, the worship, the music, and each person here, that no one would leave here without hope. I pray, Lord, that you would be in all the details of today, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. So just a few little announcements, if you could, if you remember to turn off your cell phones. I do want to also point out the exits. We have, of course, through the main doors, through these doors to the side. You can go out the back doors and out that way, and you can go through the green room, and there's an exit that way. You could also, if it was a weird situation, pop up the back and go out the sides and find exits as well. Both of the bathrooms, the men and the women's, and the men's have been cleaned really well, are available for you to use. So don't be afraid to go in there. And if you brought Street Hope gift cards, there's a little table there that you can put them in the bucket. We try to support a ministry each year, and this year we're doing gift cards for Street Hope, which rescues trafficked girls. It's a home for girls that they built here in our area, and we're supporting them this year. And they will be, we will be praying at the church on Thursday evening for them. I think it's at 7 o'clock. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you would like to come and join us, we would love to have you come and pray with us. It's a community event, and we are hosting it. And usually a lot of people don't show up for prayer, so we would encourage you to come for that. We actually had a young lady show up at our church who was fleeing, so we were able to get them in touch with them, and they helped us find a place for her. So it's around us, and I want to encourage you to come and pray for that. And lastly, I want to introduce the Halls Choir. They're the Madrils. And aren't they awesome? I wish we could have them sing for the whole time. Some of you, if you got here late, missed 30 minutes of wonderful, wonderful music. And their leader, their choir director, is Elizabeth Williams, and they do an amazing job. They came last year at our live nativity, and I was like, hey, they would be great to have at the tea. So they are going to sing the last song, and then they're going to be dismissed, but I want us to welcome them, and then you'll be blessed. I can have your attention. I want to thank everybody who served us coffee and everything. So nice to see the really young men serving the women. It's awesome. I wanted to announce really quickly about women's ministry and what we're going to be doing so that you can have that in your brain. Just put a little note in there. Our women's Bible study will start back up Tuesday evening, January 18th, and then the following Friday morning. If you're not a part, it's okay to jump in there. We're studying the disciples. And then I already mentioned that Street Hope will have a night of prayer for them this Thursday, so you're all invited to that. And it's not too late. We have gift cards in the hallway, that little window. We sell gift cards, so you could purchase from that window and leave it for Street Hope to bless them. Or if you're doing Christmas shopping and need gift cards, you get the full value of your card, just like if you bought it anywhere else, but a little portion goes back to the church so we can do special projects. So there's an exhaustive, we have some on hand that you could ask about, but there's an exhaustive list at the info booth if you need a list, and you can check off what you need, pay the money, and then like the next service or the next, within that week, the cards come. Hopefully, with things would come that quick now. Who knows? But usually it's there the next time you come and you just pick up your cards. So that's a way that you can also bless the church. We have a ladies' study that's not announced at the church just for this reason, that it's for women who are in abusive relationships or have gotten out of an abusive relationship. Jenny Sereda leads that study, and if you need information about it, if you want to see me, the next time it happens or starts on its rotation is in January. So if you know anybody that could benefit for that, please see me. We will have a women's conference Friday night, Saturday, either at the end of February or the beginning of March. So just keep that on your radar. And the other thing that we're going to be doing this year as a women's group is I've ordered some one-year Bibles, and I've ordered some of Debbie Bryson's devotionals with the one-year Bible. And so I thought it would be fun if we all started reading our Bibles together and finish it through the year. So I will have a few if you have your own. The devotional kind of goes with the NIV version, so I ordered some of those, but you can read anything you want. It'll be slightly off, but not much, if you have the New King James. I hope you'll all participate. Wouldn't it be awesome for us to all read the Bible together in a year? I think it would be wonderful. Some of you, I'm sure, read it through more times than one, but this is my pace is through the one-year Bible once, though. I hope that you will take advantage and do that, and if you need one, we should have them in the hall soon. And I think that's all my women's announcements. If you guys want to stand, we'll worship.
Why don't we go ahead and pray to begin? Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for all the women who put together these beautiful tables and just a welcoming place, Lord, to be here in fellowship. Lord, we love to be in your presence. We love to be here. And God, I pray that you would just be lifted up and glorified. Lord, we love you. Be honored and praised this morning. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness and for keeping your promises. I thank you that you sent your son as a baby to die for us and to raise to life again, and you made a way so that we can come and we can speak with you anytime we want, and you're always with us. You are Emmanuel. I pray that you would come meet us here this morning, that you would just wash over us and give us hope so that when we leave this morning, we would have more hope in you than we did when we walked in. I thank you for the testimonies that you have prepared. I pray you would just use those to speak to our hearts and just to continue to show us how much you love us in the midst of the ups and the downs. We love you so much, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Ankana, and I'm a new believer, and I'd like to share with you my story. I got saved when I was 56 years old, so it has been a very long journey for me. And I grieve when I look at how long it took me. But I have to say I am more grateful and thankful that it has not been too late to be where I'm at today, because this is the greatest gift of my life. I was born and raised a Buddhist in Bangkok, Thailand, where Buddhism is being practiced by 95% of the population. And so growing up, I place my firm belief and faith in Buddhism. Buddhism believes in reincarnation, and so karma plays a significant role in determining your reincarnated life, whether that be in a form of a human being or an animal, we don't know. And so we focus on doing a lot of good works while we are here on this earth, whether that be merit makings to the temples, to the Buddhist monks, and all charitable deeds to the underprivileged, to the handicapped, and even to animals. Anything that we can do to help and do all these good works while conducting an ethical and righteous life to ensure a better rebirth. Not a lot of my friends even know this, that I joined the nunhood 3 times. But it was just for a short period of time each time. I did that because first, I just want to take a break and get away from my busy lifestyle. And also, I wanted to learn the do's and don'ts of being a nun. Overall, I have to say that I had a good life, even though, you know, there were ups and downs, but it went well academically, professionally, and socially. It was very good. I was blessed with that. Then later on, through work, I met this Christian American man in Bangkok, whom I later married. He quoted some biblical verses to me. And also I remember he mentioned about the rapture, the Armageddon, the second coming, and the millennium kingdom. But at that time, what he said to me did not sit in with me. I thought it was just a story, so I did not explore further what it's all about. And like many married couples, you know, we had our good days, our bad days, and ugly days. We had to go through some challenges and struggles, whether that be financially, physically, emotionally, psychologically. And then I became emotional, vulnerable, miserable, then lonely. And that's when it opens up a lot of room for mistakes and temptations to intervene. And that's also when Satan stepped in and devoured my life. Now that I know the scripture, looking back, I can tell exactly how it happened. Like in Romans 16:18 said, by smooth words and flattering speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, and that's exactly how it happened to me. Once I started entertaining the conversation of the devil, he began to worm his ways into my thoughts, then gradually establish a stronghold of me. And I let it happen. Unfortunately, I did. I lost my moral compass, and I stumbled and fell bad with infidelity and adultery for many years. I was also a hypocrite because I was still going to the temple, doing merits, and I was praying every night. But instead of confessing my sins and turning away from my sins, I confess the excuses and reasons to compromise and justify my conduct. So I was not only legally blind, but was completely spiritually blind. And I have to say, sin is a downer. The more you turn away from God, because it could take you farther than you want to go. It can keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay, because that's what happened to me. Later on in that affair, I felt being manipulated, possessed, and uncomfortable. And I guess I was also feeling convicted, because I started feeling the guilt, the shame that I caused to hurt my husband and in our marriage. And so I tried to back out from that affair, but it was not easy because I let my guard down for too long, and the net that was beneath my feet is spreading too wide. Actually, it got worse, to the point of later on I found out that my face was used on online sex trafficking. It was beyond damage. I did not know what to do. And shortly after that, my husband found out about this long-term affair and the video. Then all hell broke loose because he's hurt really bad, and I know. He found out when I was visiting my family in Thailand. At that time, it was the darkest days of my life. I felt all the guilt, the shame, the pain, the misery, and all my wrongdoings weighing me down all the way to the bottom of the pit. Like, I had nowhere to go. I feel like I belong nowhere, even in my own home. I lost all hope. I had no one to turn to or lean on spiritually. No one. Although I had my sisters and my friends to support me, but no one spiritually. I felt so disgusted about myself, about my sins, of all that I did. And I did not expect anyone to forgive me, because I could not even forgive myself of all the things that I did. All the good works that I have done went down the drain. It meant nothing anymore. And so I thought of ending my life to stop the agony and the misery and the despair. But there was something inside me that kept telling me to get back up and take responsibility of my actions. And so I finally did. I came back to confront my husband of all the things that I did to him and took the consequences. It was rough. And I understand, because it hurt him so bad in many, many ways. And so I endured it because it was my fault. Then late November of last year, I met Pastor Mark. He started telling me about Jesus, that Jesus loves me, that Jesus will forgive me, will give me hope, will restore me. And those all things that I needed so bad at that time. But I still had a lot of questions on my mind. And Pastor Mark even mentioned the relationship with God, which I did not quite understand what he meant by having a relationship with someone you worship. I never had that experience before. So after that, I wanted to learn more about what he told me. So I started listening to the online teachings of Calvary Knoxville, both by Pastor Jason and Pastor Mark. And I have to say that God's words through those teachings ministers to my heart so much. It answered a lot of the questions that I had. And it's so relevant to my life, both of what happened in the past, what's going on right now, and now I even know what's ahead of me after I leave this body. And so I was like, wow, it's so amazing. It's just a feeling that I've never had before, that joy, that comfort, that peace in me, never. And a lot of the things in the Bible, especially the prophecies in the Bible, intrigues me because those are the things that are unfolding in front of our eyes in these days and age. And there's a lot more that the things that is astounding to me. And so on February 28th this year, my husband and I attended church for the first time in Tennessee, and we came to Calvary Knoxville. And that was the day when I submit my life wholeheartedly to Jesus. And then I was baptized on August 22nd. I feel so refreshed, renewed, and restored. It's such an amazing feeling. I have that peace, that joy, and comfort in my heart that I've never had before, like I said. And it reminds me of one verse of the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "Yet you brought up my life from the pit." And that's exactly what happened to me. The Lord brought me back up from the pit. He restored my soul and healed my wounds and my life and gave me hope again. I grieve, you know, looking back at all the ruins and damages that I did to many and even to myself because of my selfish choices that I made. But now I am so grateful that the Lord has established me on this new firm foundation. Take me away from the sinking sand of sins, but now I have this firm rock foundation beneath me to stand on and to move on. And that's I'm grateful for. There are many verses in the Bible that I love and that strikes my heart. But the one that I'd like to share is Ephesians 6, verses 11, 16, and 17. Say, put on that full armor of God, which may help you stand against the wiles of the devil. Taking on that shield of faith, that helmet of salvation, and that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, those messages gives me so much protection and hope in my life. And I just want to say that now I have the Lord who will correct me, direct me, guide me, and guard me. So now I fully understand what Pastor Mark meant about a relationship with God, because the Lord now fills all the voids in my life, and I'm no longer lonely because I have Him with me everywhere, all the time. It's such a wonderful feeling. I feel new, like a new creation. And now there's hope for me on what I'm about to do next, you know? And I'd like to end by saying this to anyone who is losing hope, feeling lost, or walking in darkness, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that bright light is Jesus Christ. Thank you.
And how do you follow anything like that? You know, it's so exciting to know, and the Bible bears this out, that as long as you are alive, you have the potential for hope. The Bible says you can lose your hope, and the Bible says you can sort of let it slide away, but as long as you're alive, you can get it back, you know, and that's exciting to me. That so, ladies, no matter where you're at and when, no matter what's going on in your life, don't lose hope, which is what the theme of tonight is all about. Or I guess we're in the morning time, aren't we? Y'all look beautiful. The tables look beautiful. You know, when God gave out talents, He did not give me creativity, and I am so sorry for that. When I see these tables, I get so excited. He gave it to my daughter and my sister, but He did not give it to me. He gave me other gifts, but not creativity. So maybe I should hope for that. Maybe God will give me that. But before we get started, we're just going to talk a few minutes on hope, and I better look at my time, and I'm going to tell you a story about that in a minute. But let's open up in prayer again. Dear Heavenly Father, You know each lady in here by name. You know her statistics. You know the numbers of her head. You care intimately about each and every one that is here. You know what each one needs. You know what they've come with, whether it's joy or a burden, and only You, God, can minister in that need. I'm just a speaker, but the Holy Spirit, please speak through me. Speak to their hearts to give them whatever they need, that when they leave this place, they can say they've met with You. We'll give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, Tracy asked me and said, Karen, could you maybe speak at the women's tea? She said you could either give your testimony or give a small devotional on hope. And I started to think about my life, and I thought, 15 minutes is not enough. Everything that has happened to me has dovetailed into something else, and you all don't want to be here 2 hours while I talk about what's happened in my life. But just to give you a little bit of background so you do know who's speaking to you, my name is Karen Veach, the mother of 4, the grandmother of 10, which is the most important part. My husband and I were in ministry for over 30 years. We ministered in all different sorts of places with all different sorts of people. He was the first acting director of Teen Challenge of Knoxville, and actually started the Teen Challenge here in Knoxville in 1983. And he was also a pastor. I lost him a little over a year ago to Parkinson's on October the 1st of last year. And so we were looking all around for a place to go, and my daughter had already started coming to Calvary, and as soon as we came, we visited a lot of other places, but when we came here, this was home. So that's a little bit of my background. If you want more about that, we'll go out for coffee sometime. It'll probably take me about a day and a half to continue with that. Okay. So I decided, of course, that I was going to do a short devotional on hope. And so I decided I would conduct a little survey. So I asked a few people what their definition of hope is, just to see if we were all on the same page. These are three of the things that I received. It's a concept in your mind. I'm going, okay, concept in your mind. It says, wanting something out of your control on relying on God to make it happen is another definition. And then I thought this was the most interesting, and we might get into this in a minute. It's faith is hope with feet on it. And of course, they use that scripture verse in Hebrews 11:1 that says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So after I conducted that survey, I went around and did another survey, and I said, okay, what is it that you are hoping for, or what is your hope? And these are the responses that I got from that. Good health for my brother. Easy death, no suffering or lingering. Stay on my diet and lose weight. Not repeat the past. World peace. I hated to tell him, but that won't come until Jesus comes. No division among people. And I'm not sure that'll happen until Jesus comes back. To hear God. Now, that's a good hope. But, you know, we're promised that, you know, to hear God. A brighter day. So I think the day was cloudy that day. To become a better person by doing acts of kindness, which sort of goes back to Ankana's testimony, you know. Let me get to God by how good I can be, okay? This was asked by a teenager, so you'll get this. To not have my mother drive me to the edge. So I thought that was her hope for the day, okay. To make enough money so I don't have to work. That's a good one, you know. To have my promotion to go through. That was somebody that was working. I liked this one. It was to be like my mom and live a godly life. Now, that's a good hope to have, because I know that person's mother, and she was very godly. And the last one I saved is my hope is that the Lord will use me for his glory, and that's what hope should be all about. According to the Webster's Dictionary, hope can either be a noun or a verb. I can have a hope, which is the thing, or it can be a verb and I can act out to hope or to want something, okay? And according to Webster, this is what they are. The noun is desire combined with expectations. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Or verb, to desire with the belief in the possibility of obtaining. And the second one for a verb, immediately there was a situation that came to mind. You know, I'd like to win the lottery. However, I've never bought a ticket. So I think that my expectation of winning that has been sorely, you know, what would be the word? Sorely misled, because I don't think that's ever going to happen unless the Lord just materially makes one in front of my hand. So it's two things. There's our desire. So I'm going to ask you ladies today, where is your desire? But along with that desire is then what is your expectation? Okay? I ran into a friend of mine that had taken a job in another town, and she said to me, I said, so how was your experience there? And she said, it was horrible. She was a Christian lady, and she said, it was horrible. She said, God didn't meet my needs. And I looked at her, and I said, well, what do you mean God didn't meet your needs? And she said, while I was there, I struggled the whole time. And I said, well, with what did you struggle? And she said, well, there's things that I wanted and I never got them. And I said, well, did you eat while you were there? And she said, well, yeah, I ate. I said, did you have a house while you were there? And she said, well, yes, I had a house, but he just wouldn't be on my time schedule. God just wouldn't meet my expectations. And it's like, okay, you can hope in the things of this world. It doesn't say that your hope has to be on the Lord. You can hope in yourself. You can hope in other people. And you know that's where that's going to lead you. We can hope in our own finances. We can hope in our own strength. We can, you know, hope that a bear doesn't come out of the woods and eat us like we were afraid the other night might happen. But the thing about it is where are you placing your hope? On who are you relying on? Where is your desire? Is your desire for money? Is it a desire for a job? Not that those things are necessarily wrong. It's your priority of where they fit on your list. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So if you don't take anything else out of this teaching today, take the thought that my hope is in the Lord. You know, David said in the Psalms, and I was going to give you a whole bunch of statistics, but I don't have enough time about where that is. But David says in the Psalms that, let me quote this right, that he hoped in God from his youth, and that it was a source of confidence in his life. So mothers out there, it's really important that you hear me. Your confidence should be in the Lord, and you should teach that confidence to your children. And I'm going to give a correlation here in just a minute. But in kids' ministry, we sing this song. My hope is in the Lord. I belong to him. He will never let me go. And that's how the song goes. My hope is in the Lord. I can count on him. My hope is in the Lord. So we're teaching your young people at an early age where their hope needs to be. And so you mothers, you need to enforce that, or we're enforcing you, okay? It says, I can't help but feel a little down, a little worried when I look around. That's why my hope is in the Lord. I fix my eyes. Do you get the correlation? What are you looking at? I fix my eyes upon the Lord who gives, because all I need is all I have in him. That's why my hope is in the Lord. So if your hope this day is messed up a little bit with fear, let me ask you the question, what are you looking at? Are you looking to him? Because we're telling your kids, you look to the Lord. Your help, your hope, everything is in the Lord. Okay? I love the scripture verses that Tracy, because you know there's 148 scriptures on hope that's in the Bible. And I looked every single one of those up. And of course, I'm not going to give them to you right now. But one of the things it says, the eyes of your heart are flooded with life. Know and understand the hope to which he has called you. Know your hope and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. And that's found in Ephesians 1:18. I was wondering if she was going to run all 148, but I didn't see that many up there. But that scripture, believe it or not, was up there. So I ask you again, ladies, where is your hope and what are you looking at? Okay? Then there's the sense of timing. You know, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Okay? So whose timing are we talking about? Is it our own timing or is it in God's timing? If we put our trust and our hope in the Lord, we have to also trust and hope in his timing. He knows the best time. As I prayed before, he knows you intimately. He knows when it's the best time for you to get what you think that you need. He will provide everything that you need, not everything that you want, but he will give you every single thing that you need if we trust in him. So don't let Satan trick you if it's not according to your own timing, but have enough hope to believe in it. There was another scripture verse that I had up there that Tracy put on the board, and that was, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So why hope at this time of year? There's two reasons. One is, if Jesus Christ had not come, there would be no hope. Did you know that? Even the Israelites, as Jason has been teaching on Sunday nights, even the Israelites were looking towards Jesus' coming. That's where their hope was placed. It was hope placed on Jesus. If he hadn't come, we wouldn't have hope of salvation. We wouldn't have hope of eternal life. We wouldn't have hope of the resurrection. We would have no hope for the future. So we need to make sure that we realize that this is the time of hope. This is the time that his promise was fulfilled. The fact that he loved us so much, and he had the plan from the very beginning of the world to come to us. He didn't leave it up to us because he knew we'd mess it up. He didn't leave it up to us because he knew we couldn't do it. None of us can do it in our own strength. Only the Son of God, only God himself could bridge that gap, which is what Pastor Jason is teaching and preaching on Sunday nights. He's such a holy God. Only he is able to bridge that gap. So the reason we have hope at this time of the year is because this is the time that we celebrate, and I'm not going to get into whether he was really born on the 25th. We have set a day aside. It's our day to honor him and thank him. If he hadn't have come, we would have no hope. So we have our hope in him, okay? Our hope, if we wait on the Lord, he will give us the hope that we need. And I'm going to end because my time is just about done. I was going to tell you the story real quick, though, when Tracy told me how much time I had. You know, it's hard for a woman that likes to talk a lot, which I don't know who that could be, when you say you've got 15 to 20 minutes. So somebody was telling me a story about this pastor who is long-winded, such as I am. And he thought, I'm going to make this plan up on how I'm going to really stay within my time slot. So he would put a piece of candy, in hard candy, in his pocket, and he would slip it into his mouth when he started to speak, so that when that disappeared out of his mouth, he knew, okay, time to close up. Okay, it's time to go. Well, his wife, I don't know if you can see this or not, I have these extra buttons here. He had lost the extra button off his coat, so his wife, being a good wife that she was, slipped that into his pocket so that, you know, she wouldn't lose it. So when it was time, you know, to put that back on, she could know where it was. So the man slips his hand to his pocket, and he puts that button in his mouth, which is about the same size as the candy. So 2.5 hours later, he's going, you know, I don't understand this, but anyway, I did not do that. Just to end, you know, so that I can be within my time slot. I love music, and I want my life to reflect an old song that was written by Edward Mote. A little background on Edward Mote. He was born in England, and he lived from 1797 to 1874. And he was born to parents that owned a pub. So his Sundays were spent in running the streets. He had never even heard the word God. But his parents decided he needed to become more respectable. So they apprenticed him out to a cabinet maker. And so he went to live with the cabinet maker, and the cabinet maker took him to church. As soon as he heard the gospel, he gave his heart to the Lord. So While going to work one day, word started coming to him, and he wrote the following song. And I think most of you will recognize it. But it says so much of where our hope should be and how it should be. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, not on us, and his righteousness. I dare not trust this sweetest frame." He's talking about himself. "I dare not trust this sweetest frame, but wholly, totally," that's what that means, "lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground, all other hope is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, when you feel like you're alone, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every," and I've got that capitalized, "in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood, what does it do? It supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my hope, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Nothing we have is going to go with us. Faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, and I hope you stand. All other ground, as Ankana witnessed, is sinking sand. Everything else is sinking sand." Have hope this Christmas. He is in control, he has a plan, and he loves you with his whole heart.
Thank you, Ankana and Karen. It was perfect. My hope is that Jesus is coming back really soon. I beg him to come. I don't even care if I have more grandbabies, and if there's some in the making, I'll see them in heaven. I'm just ready for Jesus to come back. But maybe there's some in this room who are not ready for Jesus to come back. And we want you to be ready today, because there's hope in Jesus, and there's nothing that we can do. There is no valley so deep, no pit so deep, no darkness so dark that Jesus cannot come there and shine his light and rescue us. He did everything that we need to be able to go to heaven. It's not dependent on us. All we have to do is accept what he has done, confess our sin to him, and turn from it. We have to repent. Repentance is key. It means we can't keep living how we're living, and receive all that he did for us. And he accepts us, and he washes us clean, and he removes that heavy burden. And so if there's anyone here that doesn't know that hope and that peace and that simplicity and that just that cleanness and rest, make today that day. And in this busy season, we can lose our focus and get it on things and presents and just the things of the world. But there's one thing that's needed, and that's Jesus. And I pray that each of you will take time to spend time each day at the feet of Jesus and let him be your focus. Have the Bible out somewhere where you can grab a verse in your day just to calm your heart and meditate on his word. It says, meditate on his word day and night. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the only way. There's no other way to heaven. And it's certainly not by our works or anything that we can do. We could be the best little grandmas in the world and bake lots of pies and do really kind things, but we won't get to heaven unless we accept Jesus as our Savior and turn from our sin. So I just pray that no one leaves here without that assurance. And if you, I know in a room this size, we're all going through things, and seems like these days have been extra dark days. Just the enemy's been so strong and so, just so evident, I guess. Not stronger than God by any means, but just evident. And we go through difficult things, lots of deaths, lots of sickness, just lots of different things in our life. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward and the worship team to come up. We're going to have a time, just a time of prayer and reflection on just what we've heard. And if you need prayer today, the ladies will be standing up front. If I could have like Linda Coe and anybody come on up here now in the front, Michelle, Jamie, Debbie, and Karen. And I have, again, we've prayed over the verses, and we have those lots of the 100-some verses here in this bucket for you, and prayed that God would give you the verse that would minister to your heart. So as we're singing and ending today, I would like you to come and get a verse, and because there's hope for everybody, and his word, he is faithful and true, and so let's worship, and feel free to come up, and if you need prayer, I want you to come up in front of the stage prayer team in front here, please. Liel, come on all the way to Karen. They're shy prayer people. So don't be shy to ask for prayer, but here they are, and they are willing to pray with you if you need prayer.
Are you hurting, broken, thin? Oh.
We want to give the ladies that still need prayer time. If you want to stand up, we're gonna sing another worship song together and make sure everyone who needs prayer gets prayer. And if you didn't get a verse, please come and take one out of the bowl up here. Thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your word, the truths of your word, and who you are, because you are the word. You're steadfast, immovable, and faithful, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You're the first and the last. You're the beginning, the end. You're the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. For you are a good God. There is none like you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. And Lord, I pray a blessing on each lady here, that they would know your love, that your presence would go with them. You would fill their heart with your love and with your hope. You are our hope. And we commit this time and our days to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to say a quick thank you to all the hostesses for the beautiful tables. And all the hordes of people that it took to do all of this and decorate the church and all. Thank you so, so much. And we're going to end on a last worship song, and God bless your day.
In desperation, I turn to heaven.
see you back either tonight or tomorrow.